At that time, when it was late that same day, the first of the week, though the doors where the disciples gathered had been closed for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stood in the midst of them and said to them, "Peace be to you." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and his side. The disciples therefore rejoiced at the sight of the Lord. He therefore said to them again, "Peace be to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you." And when he had said this, he breathed upon them and said to them, "Receive the Holy Spirit. Whose sins you shall forgive, they are forgiven them, and whose sins you shall retain, they are retained." Now Thomas, one of the 12, called the twin, was not with them when Jesus came. And the other disciples therefore said to him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger in the place of the nails, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." And after 8 days, his disciples were again inside, and Thomas with them. Jesus came, and the doors being closed, stood in their midst and said, "Peace be to you." Then he said to Thomas, "Bring here thy finger and see my hands, and bring here thy hand and put it into my side, and be not unbelieving, but believing." Thomas answered and said to him, "My Lord and my God." Jesus said to him, "Because thou hast seen me, Thomas, thou hast believed. Blessed are they who have not seen and yet have believed." Many other signs also Jesus worked in the sight of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these were written that you may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you may have life in his name. Thus are the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, amen. He was a skeptic. He was an unbeliever in what his best friends told him, in what the people, the 11 other or 10 other men who he spent the past 3.5 years with under the guidance of our Lord. Thomas the twin, doubting Thomas, didn't believe their testimony. When they told him the Lord is risen, as he said, "We have seen him," he said, "I do not believe unless I put my fingers in his hands." And we can even imagine this. He was there. He said, "You know, I don't believe you unless I actually see for myself. Put my fingers in his hands, my hand in his side. I don't believe you." How could he be this way? He was in disbelief. But today, many people say the same thing. We are in an age of many doubters. Many Thomases are with us. When we talk about Christ, they do not believe. They do not believe in our Lord. They do not believe in the church. And they ask for some kind of verification. "Oh, I must see some kind of miracle." Well, there are miracles that have happened, but those usually aren't good enough for these people. And yet, when our Lord appears to Thomas, he says, "Come, put your fingers in my hands. Put your hand in my side. And do not be unbelieving, but believe." And does Thomas actually do that? No. For when our Lord appears to him, it is enough for him. It is important for us to understand that faith that our Lord gives Thomas at that moment is a gift. It is not something that one can rationalize and think about and logically achieve. Faith is a grace. It is a gift that we do not earn for ourselves. There is nothing that I did to earn the grace of faith. There's nothing that you did to earn the grace of your faith. The only reason I have faith is because my parents took me as a child to the church to be baptized. And at that moment, I received the faith. And it's the same for many of you here. If there are any adult converts, you did not reason to your faith yourself. There was a grace given at some moment for you to believe, "My Lord and my God," to believe that Christ is true man and true God. God who came down and became man. That is the fundamental of the faith. And that is a gift. St. Thomas Aquinas calls the faith first grace, because it has to be the first grace of our spiritual life. And it is a great mystery how we get it. It is a gift. We have to remember this. It is a gift. And there are many people today who either don't have the faith or have lost the faith. And every one of us, I think, in here knows someone, a family member, a sibling, a parent, or a child of the extended family, maybe an aunt, an uncle, cousins, who have lost the faith or who do not have the faith. We are living in an age of doubters, an age of skepticism, an age of doubting Thomases who want more proof. But the more proof they get, they will still not believe. Why? Because it is a spiritual grace. You know, I remember talking with someone years ago. It was before I was ordained. And this person was a convert. And they had probably the best example of someone who receives the gift of faith, when someone receives the gift of faith. This person was in college and they hadn't been baptized, and they got to know a number of Catholics, and they would debate and go through all the debates about the faith and apologetic debates, you know, about Christ and the church and these various things. And the person, after a few years, you know, really knew all the explanations and all the arguments. And this person said one day, they were alone and they were in their apartment or in their dorm room, and they just said to themselves, they said out to Christ. They just asked the question in their mind, "Are you really God?" And the person said, "At that moment, I knew without a doubt that he was God." 10 seconds before, they did not have the faith. They sent up the prayer and asked Christ, and he gave that person the faith. That is the best example of this great mystery, the mystery of the faith. And it is important for us to remember that it is a mercy to each one of us. It is a gift to each one of us. Christ comes into the world to save us. He says, "As the Father sends me." The Father, God in heaven, sees our situation, sees our wretchedness, and he sends Christ to save us. You know, today is the Feast of Mercy. We now call this the Feast of Divine Mercy. Why? Because Christ applies the graces that he won upon the cross. He wins them on the cross, but on this day we specially think about him distributing those graces. And he distributes them out of mercy. He actually wins them out of mercy also, but he gives them to us out of mercy. Christ came to have mercy on us, to give us the grace of faith, to give us other graces also. And he asks us then to be merciful. And he says this to St. Faustina, but also in the scriptures. This is not anything new, that he expects us to be merciful. So what is mercy? What is mercy? The Latin word for mercy is misericordia. It's a compound word, misericordia. Miser means sorrowful or wretched. It's where we get the word misery or miser from, miser. And cordia is the word for heart. We get the word cardiology from this, the study of the heart. Misericordia means sorrowful heart. And so the person that has mercy sees another person in a terrible situation, in a bad situation, and their heart is moved to sorrow. Sorrow over that other person. And that sorrow just doesn't end there, because it's from the heart. The heart is our motivator. It is the innermost part of our being, and it directs the actions of the rest of our being. So that heart, that sorrowful heart that sees someone in a situation, mercy then moves the heart to then do something. And we can think about this as someone who's in a physical difficulty. We would rush over to help them. but more importantly, someone in a spiritual difficulty. When we see someone without the faith, we should be moved to sorrow and to try to help them, either to discuss with them, but also to pray for them. This is what mercy is, that our hearts are to be moved to sorrow when we see our neighbor suffering, either physically or spiritually. This is what Christ does. The Father sent him out of mercy to save us. And his Sacred Heart is moved for mercy for us. And he gives us the grace to be like him, to have that merciful heart. And he expects us to then join him in this. As the Father sends me, so I send you, he says to the apostles, and then that applies to all of us Christians. And so there are many people in the world today without the faith. And we often lament our terrible post-Christian society, how terrible things are today. Why is it that way? Because people are losing the faith. The faith is not being given to many people also. And so what are we to do about it? Are we to just simply lament? No. Faith is a gift to those people, but it is won by others. That it is by my prayers that the faith comes to someone else. I can't merit the faith for myself, but I can for someone else. Once I have the faith, then my prayers and my sacrifices can open the treasury of the church to give the faith to someone else. This is how it works. That it is by my prayers, it is by your prayers that the faith spreads. And so although we live in this post-Christian society with everybody losing the faith, why is that happening? Because I'm not praying hard enough. Because you are not praying hard enough. Christ expects mercy from us. You know, sometimes our Lord appears to saints and he will say, he will actually offer them, he'll say, what would you like? I will give you anything that you want. Any grace, any gift that you'd like. And if he were to say that to someone of the world, they would probably ask for money or fame or power, you know, worldly things. But hopefully nobody here would actually pray for that or ask for that from Christ as an extraordinary gift. Why? Because we know that money is passing, that fame is vanity, that we would ask for something more important, more substantial, something that will last for eternity. Maybe we would ask for wisdom. Wisdom. But we shouldn't ask for that, because wisdom can fail, right? Solomon was the most wise of all men, and if we read the scriptures, ultimately he fails. The wisdom fails him. What should we pray for? We should ask our Lord that may my heart be like yours. May my heart be an image of your Sacred Heart, inflamed with your love, and filled with your mercy. This is what he wants of us. But we don't need some spectacular revelation to us, our Lord to appear to us and say, you know, ask me of anything and I will give it to you. Because this is what he wants for all of us. He's already revealed this to us. His greatest gift is already there, ready to be given to us. But he wants us to ask for it. He wants us to strive for it. We have to turn to him and ask him for his mercy and also really for his charity, that I would be transformed. Remember, this gift, this feast of mercy is not just about receiving things from him, this great grace of mercy, but also for us to be transformed and to be merciful also. So, on this day, let us ask our Lord for that grace, that he would give us His mercy, that He would fill us with His grace, that He would transform our hearts into an image of His heart, and that He would fill us with His mercy so that we can then bring His mercy into the world for others. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, Amen.